You're listening to Mae Brussel and World Watchers International for KLRB, Carmel by the Sea. And now, back to Mae Brussel.
Okay, now for the second half of my election analysis. Many of you who get this tape, the elections will just about be over by the time it's mailed to you, and either candidate, Jimmy Carter or Ronald Reagan, either one that wins, doesn't affect much the human condition unless you want it to change. Nothing is going to happen through Jimmy Carter that would be any different than Ronald Reagan. The style may be a little bit different, but the complacency that you would have under Jimmy Carter is a false complacency. And for that reason, I'm going to discuss the reason I believe that I personally am going to vote for Ronald Reagan. Just before I do that, I do want to mention that when Nelson Rockefeller had his heart attack in New York City, he was with a Megan Marshak from California, and in came Poichena Pierce, a friend of hers from New York, who called the ambulance. There was a David Lustig from California, from Reagan country, attending and working with Nelson Rockefeller, who was engaged to Megan Marshak, Dr. Ernest Essakoff from South Africa, and Andrew Hoffman, the aide to Nelson Rockefeller, were never questioned. This was an outright murder of Nelson Rockefeller at a time of possible links of Guyana to Venezuela, where Rockefeller has strong hold of the oil company at Caracas and mind control experiments going on in Venezuela and prison systems. And also there was a drug war, is a faction going on between the Rockefeller Combine and the Western Group, and Donald Donaldson had disappeared and died and had mentioned Nelson Rockefeller as being behind the Kennedy assassination, and George de Morenschild had died. A close contact of Nelson Rockefeller and John Paisley, also working with the intelligence system, had died. Just and all of these deaths, the Jonestown, the Paisley, de Morenschild, Donaldson, and Rockefeller, a ball of wax where all of them were wiped up and all had very much in common, and none of these people were ever called. There was never an inquest, an investigation, and as soon as Rockefeller was out, New York belonged to Ronald Reagan. Well, I was at a lovely dinner party last night, and all of the people there were against Ronald Reagan, and I believe I shocked them by stating that I believe I have to vote for Ronald Reagan. Some of you may be surprised at what I'm saying, and I have vacillated for many, many weeks about this election. I believe there were two articles in the newspaper this past week that tipped the scales for me on the decision to vote for Ronald Reagan. And the two of them I will go into at great length next week, the details of these articles. One has to do with Billy Carter in Libya and working with Yasser Arafat of the PLO and meeting with George Habash, the Palestinian leader. I have too much information about George Habash, about George, about the assassination teams, the men that killed John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, and Martin Luther King, that worked with Congressman McDonald and worked from Georgia, to ever sit back and believe now, after all the information of Vesco and Billy Carter and his meetings with these people, that the Georgia connections are as deep as I really didn't want to believe when Jimmy Carter first came in. But I do believe that the connections of Jimmy Carter to the assassination teams are very longstanding and deep. And the other article, there was a two-part on the same subject, one from the London Times, August 31st, 1980, and an article by Maxine Cheshire in the Washington Post. The title of one article in the London Times has to do with, it's called The Bank, the CIA, Heroin, and Murder, and also on the second page, 12 Missing or Dead. And then Maxine Cheshire had an article in the Washington Post, The Murdered Bankers, White House Connections. Now, these articles are about a Mr. and Mrs. Wilson who were shot in New Zealand, who are heroin traffickers who work for the CIA, a bank called the Nugan Hand Bank in Australia. That's a Central Intelligence Agency bank. There's missing hundreds of $20-30 million at least from the bank. It has to do with Hamilton Jordan, Jimmy Carter's buddy, Trujillo's in Panama, and the 12 murders connected to this particular bank in Australia linked to John Paisley of the Central Intelligence Agency, who worked with Lee Harvey Oswald when he was in the Soviet Union, and a man, Walt McDonald, of the CIA, who works with William Colby, and the heroin trade and the assassination teams, the drug traffic, the Carter connections are so deep. This article from the London Times is a ball of wax that I'll go into more in detail. But the more I read about Jimmy Carter and his links to Vesco and these assassination teams and his inaction as president. He came on saying that he would have truth and open up files, and yet while he was president, these various people, primary witnesses to the House Select Committee on Assassinations, were murdered. The conclusion of the committee was that Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King were killed. John Kennedy and Martin Luther King were killed by conspiracies. The president of the United States has kept quiet. G. Robert Blakey said that he could prosecute, or the Justice Department could prosecute, some of the assassins now. Jimmy Carter hasn't done that. I believe sincerely that both of these men, Reagan and Carter, are so involved in the multiple assassinations that have taken place in the past that the reason I'm voting for Reagan is that we're too complacent under Jimmy Carter. And when you get Ronald Reagan, you will get as angry and nervous and concerned as I have been through the years. You've had a lot of time to be complacent while I've been concerned. And I don't think that voting for Ronald Reagan will put you to sleep. Whoever you are, when you need help and you see things coming down and you're breathing foul air and foul water on your brink of war, and so you can't have abortions, and the death penalty is reinstated, and there's rioting and Klan and Nazis and terrorism in the streets, you will be forced to get away from whatever you're doing and begin to meet with people and discuss whether you're going to stay alive or whether you're dead already, because Ronald Reagan is going to force you to think about things you haven't wanted to think about when Jimmy Carter was in office. Reagan will awaken the Jews and the Black and the Chicanos and the poor and the anti-war and the anti-pollution and the pro-abortion and the anti-death penalty, and they'll wake up from their long sleep since the Vietnam War. You may get mad at some of the issues that people talk about, but you're going to express your anger. I don't think you're going to sit around and be as complacent as you were in the past. The trends since World War I are becoming apparent. We're arming the entire world, and weapons are going to start flying pretty soon back and forth, more than Iraq, Iran. And when Ronald Reagan is president of the United States, he will give that Pentagon every penny they want until he bankrupts you so badly and takes from you what you need that you will get out in the streets and scream and organize and demand your rights back again. You've given them away piece by piece under Lyndon Johnson and under Jimmy Carter. Complacent, you woke up, or we woke up when Richard Nixon was in office. When he was in office, we discovered about the COINTEL program, about the plans to wiretap and bug and illegal entries into homes and the MKUltra and the drug programs. That came because Nixon was in office, not because a Democrat was in office. You have to get it really bad before you get some truth. People are expendable under Ronald Reagan. His mind-control programs were rampant when he was governor. They're without breaks with Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter doesn't care what happened in Jonestown to those people. He protects the mass murderers. He's protecting the people that are killing the Blacks in this country right now. He's not making any effort to stop these kinds of deaths, and I believe that Ronald Reagan will encourage the far right, and then the left, or whatever it is, there is no left, but say people, will wake up and rally. They, when Reagan gives the go-ahead, and his police force and his team look the other way, as they did in Germany, maybe Americans will wake up. Maybe they won't. They didn't in Germany, but there was an example to live up to of the consequences. Any control from inflation, you're going to have to get from Ronald Reagan. He He's going to tell you how to solve the problem of inflation. We didn't get it with Jimmy Carter. We get more medical costs, more costs for drugs, more transportation. Education's going to cost more. Housing is going to cost more. Food and necessities. But you're getting a creeping kind of fascism under Carter, whereas Reagan is so flagrant. His speeches and his idiocy, his remarks, like if you've seen one tree, you've seen them all, and if there's going to be a bloodbath, let it be. That's when the students got mad and Ronald Reagan wanted to confront them, and maybe he'll shoot one or two, but for everyone he shoots, there'll be 30 or 40,000 organizing. You've got to get out there and express your anger, and if you don't think there's something to be angry about now, you will when Reagan's president. The poor and the middle class will, they'll be pushed aside. Reagan loves that. He'll tell the children to go to trade schools or live in trailers or stay home and work hard if you can, get a job and pay taxes and take minimum wages, and the elderly and the uneducated and crippled, the mentally sick are expendable. But you won't like that if members of your family are treated that way, and you will speak up to them. They're being pushed against the wall right now, but nobody is saying anything. With Reagan, it's visible. Ronald Reagan is like Disneyland. I was talking to a friend about that this week. He's a symbol. His symbol, is wherever he goes, are balloons and jelly beans. He wants to bring you back. Be happy. Look how pretty they are. They're pink and blue, and they're pastels, and they're red, white, and blue. And balloons mean childhood and fun, but balloons also mean disappointment. They pop on the way home. You come home from the shoe store, and my children cried. Hit the carpet. The balloon popped. Their brother or sister popped it. Balloons weren't always that much fun. They didn't last, and they were so temporary. And they're very pretty and gay, but they break, and children don't like that either. And jelly beans aren't so much fun. That's Reagan's symbol, his jelly beans. Jelly beans are slow to rot your teeth. They taste good when they go down, and years later, your teeth are rotted. And that's what Ronald Reagan is. He's all jelly beans and balloons. And like Disneyland, it's not a city. I did radio tapes on that before. It's a computerized village with sets and a computerized Abraham Lincoln giving a speech. It's nothing at all. It has no substance. But if you want to know about Ronald Reagan, get your jelly beans and get your balloons and that senile old goat and put him up there and then look at him. And look at him good, because the same people pushing him are pushing Carter. David Rockefeller and Brzezinski are pushing Jimmy Carter the same way, but Carter has things together on the surface, so it isn't as noticeable as it will be if Ronald Reagan is president. Wait till he invades Cuba. The Third World and other countries will come down on us. There was a demonstration in Great Britain. It was on 60 Minutes this evening. Many of you probably saw it. Anti-war people, they don't want our nuclear warheads on their country. They say the United States won't be affected again. All of a sudden, in October of 1980, the British caught on that they may have World War III in their backyard. And the commentator on 60 Minutes went on to say that these aren't the hippies or the anti-war people. Isn't it strange? This is the middle class coming out. Well, that's why if I vote for Reagan and enough people vote for Reagan, we'll get the middle class out of their chairs. We'll get you away from your television set and your complacency and the People magazine and all the trivia, because you won't have time for trivia when the warheads start being distributed around the country and begin to leak and we have more Three Mile Islands. Other countries are nervous now as we get close to Reagan time. They're beginning to wake up and seeing what we're putting over there on their soil, and Europe isn't liking it very much. When Reagan's in, the military dictatorships will come out full glory. You'll see South Africa and Argentina and Taiwan and Brazil, Saudi Arabia being proud as peacocks, and they will display themselves as the Shah of Iran displayed himself when Richard Nixon was in office. But wasn't Jimmy Carter over at the Shah telling him what a great person he was and the mainstay of peace in the world? So bring these people out. The higher they climb, the sooner they'll fall. Saudi Arabia has to have a revolution someday with its slave labor camps. Brazil and Argentina and South Africa can't stay the way they are forever. So bring out Ronald Reagan and you'll get revolution and a change of hands in these governments. I'm tired of seeing these countries destroyed from the inside and people around the world believing that there's a semblance of a decency. Under Jimmy Carter, didn't we get, after the president of South Korea was murdered, a man who is a fascist equal to any of the rulers of the world today, a bloody fascist? Let him be anointed and let Ronald Reagan recognize South Korea and let him kill his opponent and hang him, and North Korea and China and Russia will come zooming down on us and say, you can't do that. Daniel Ludwig can come out of hiding in Brazil when Ronald Reagan is president. He continues to make his paper and his pulp so that someday when all the other printers and books dry up, Daniel Ludwig, the hidden man, it's hard to describe this multinational, international creep from Michigan, protege probably of Gerald Ford and Henry Ford, the Michigan fascist team who settled on land that Henry Ford had in Brazil and kills off natives to build his huge town there. When he dies, he's going to leave the money to cancer research in Switzerland, not to the United States. And when he builds a paper pulp empire, he brings the entire assembly from Japan. He doesn't even use American labor. Daniel Ludwig is the ilk that works with Reagan, and he can come out of the woodwork, and we can see his face, maybe. Cancer and diseases will escalate, but they escalated under Jimmy Carter. Wasn't it Jimmy Carter that allowed Dow Chemical to be paid, Dow Chemical paid $43 million to the Mexican government to put paraquat in marijuana? That wasn't the cost of the Dow Chemical that Rockefeller makes. That's what they paid Mexico to kill young people on the West Coast, particularly. A few years later, they'll have lung cancer. If you were 18 to 30 years old and lived on the West Coast during Carter's administration, the chances are that you're as likely to get cancer of the lung 15 years now as if you were a child who was brought up teething on a crib with lead paint who gets cancer 20 or 30 years later from the lead paint. Jimmy Carter allowed youth, potential anti-war people or protesters or dropouts, people taking marijuana to be poisoned purposely. So where were the hippies? Where were the anti-war people? Where were the marijuana smokers? Home, complacent, lighting their joints, sitting back. Wait till they get lung cancer. They'll scream like a bunch of little piggies, like in Utah, where people allowed atomic testing from Nevada. They allowed it in Utah. The sheep were dying. Vegetation was dying. The government said, no, no leaks of atomic bombs here. Now they're screaming and yelling. They've got leukemia. They're suing the government. Many of them are dying of that. They're dying of Agent Orange from Southeast Asia. Dow Chemical told them it was poison before they used it. They knew it as early as 1962. Now they're suing and now they're screaming. I don't know why the complacency before, but I'm absolutely convinced that when you get a Ronald Reagan, as I say, you'll get off your chairs really fast, much faster than you would if you had Jimmy Carter for president. You'll see diseases escalate. The germ control centers in Georgia, and that's Georgia territory, we see new diseases, strange diseases like Legionnaires, unexplained diseases. There'll be more of that, and there'll be famines, and they'll continue to wipe out large masses of people. And Ronald Reagan won't be any different than Jimmy Carter with the Cambodia situation. He will allow the famines, but he'll do it in a way that you're going to notice it. And you're going to notice who he recognizes and who he deals with. His special agents are also lobbyists for Taiwan and South Africa and all the fascist countries. And when you get a president who is so grossly fascist, you are forced either to give up totally and say, okay, you win, Adolf, we give it to you, or no, we're going to fight. You're either going to get the resistance the Americans had at the time of the American Revolution, where you get back to a government by the people and for the people, or the French Revolution, where you're not even eating cake anymore and you're begging for crumbs and eating your cat and dog food, you're going to wake up, or the Russian Revolution when the Tsar was kicked out. the people got together and had conversation and found ways to overthrow fascism in that form. I don't have any easy solution. I know that we don't use the methods that are available to us now. We don't challenge the candidates. Enough people don't get on talk shows and radio shows. They don't write letters to the editor. They don't write to the chemical companies. They're not boycotting these companies. You're going to have to think of some alternatives, and you're going to have to act in order to stay alive. And I think that Ronald Reagan will do it more than anybody else. There's one man in Texas, I've mentioned him before, Charles Spears, who collects the names of people that have been murdered, such as in Germany, during the period of 1918 to 1933. He collects the names of people that have been murdered in this country who are primary witnesses to the killing, or were part of the killing, of political leaders consistently since 1963 that have allowed the elections to end up with people like Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter. Mae Russell has been on the air 9 years talking about the murder of these people. Charles Spears in Texas has been studying them. He sent out another letter this week. The Fourth Reich, Nazi intrusion, murdered for control and cover-up. And he lists, he has 93 people on his list. I have a list of 130 people, witnesses just to the John Kennedy assassination. And you go down this list of people murdered, and every single one of them was for the political purpose of getting into office candidates such as you are seeing in 1980 who were part of the assassination teams. Now, I think that there will be more Mae Brussels and more Charles Spears, more people getting on the air, writing articles, getting public, writing to public officials. This whole group of dormant, quiet activity will sprout, and people will be forced to move. And when they're forced to move, I think we will get more alternative newspapers. They went out of business. The Berkeley Barb, the LA Free Press, The Realist will get small publishers coming out with books countering the multinational publications. I think a vote for Reagan is a vote for you to wake up and shake up. And I don't think that, as I say, the complacency that has been going on for all of these murders that affect specifically the electoral process really has to come. The complacency has to come to an end. I'm mean and I'm angry, I suppose, because we have let things get so bad. I'm not, I don't believe it's the end of the world, but I think there's going to be a lot of hard work to do to bring things around to a change, and there has to be a lot of blood spilled. No revolution ever came about through exchanging pencils and papers and paper clips or tape cassettes. Revolutions involved a lot of blood and a lot of killing and a lot of good people being killed in order to make those changes. And we need those changes in this country. We need to coexist with everyone. We need to stop making weapons. We need to stop looking the other way at these religious cults like the Hare Krishna, the Moonies, the various church cults that are gun smuggling, narcotic traffics, false passports, German citizenships, dual citizenships. We need to stop and look at these people with their funding. Reverend Moon's money came from Adolf Hitler. He made gunpowder in Korea. What business does he have buying up property, buying up our children's minds? How far can they go? Jonestown obviously wasn't enough because nobody yet has given a bean about that. The reaction of people is so minute to what Jonestown was or what these political assassinations were. It's going to take more blood than that. If it's not 900, it'll be 9,000, or maybe 90,000, or maybe 900,000, and maybe 9 million. It's going to take a lot of blood and energy, and it's going to take brains. And nothing is going to coagulate your energy or your emotions until you see King Ronald in the White House with his entourage. That will get you, if it didn't before. When you see him there and you realize this transition of what you've got in Washington, D.C., you'll be forced, I really feel, to make some changes. If Ronald Reagan had the image of balloons and jelly beans, Jimmy Carter had a different image. He came in with Greg Allman on his arm as if he loved rock music. He brought his Jewish lawyer from Atlanta, Mr. Lipsitch, and he had a black woman give the speech for him, a nomination speech. And we thought we had rock musicians, Jews and blacks, and this was going to be a party of the people. And he spun them off as nothing. He took on his multinational attorney, Lloyd Cutler. Barbara Jordan hasn't been heard from for years. She's literally in obscurity. Greg Allman was picked up on narcotics charges and faded away. And the narcotic dealers around the Allman brothers and George are very much involved with Jimmy Carter and Billy Carter and the Vesco connections, the narcotic connections down there. The image of one was a liberal who brought in all segments of our society. He actually turned out to be handpicked by David Rockefeller in the Trilateral Commission and Brzezinski at a meeting in London. They dressed him up as a PR job, and we fell for it, lock, stock, and barrel, until in October 1980, we have 60 ships in the Persian Gulf, and at any moment, some crazy could kamikaze bomb one of them as an excuse for World War III. The real power between these various candidates is the Pentagon. It's the intelligence community. They're crazy people. They don't want to exist in peace. If you want peace, you're going to have to fight for it. And Jimmy Carter isn't necessarily going to bring it to you. Ronald Reagan, for sure, doesn't have a team that wants to bring it to you. And if you don't want to go bankrupt with the weapon systems, you're going to have to say, I've had enough. I'm not going to pay my taxes, or I'm not going to fight for you. I'm not going to do what you want me to. And the point about the 1980 elections, you go out and vote for whoever you want. But I know one thing. Jimmy Carter's links to the Middle East, to the terrorists, the CIA assassination teams, the Georgia assassination teams, is every bit as foul and rank as Ronald Reagan's. Reagan's links to Paula Exalt and organized crime and Lockheed and the Hughes Organization, and Lockheed is also big in Georgia. So I personally, for the first time, really am going to vote fascist, because they're both fascists, but one's an upfront fascist, and I feel that the sooner he's in, the sooner you will know what America really is, because it isn't different between the two of them, and we'll break the balloon and throw away the jelly beans and find out what's underneath and get on with the problem of making this country serve the people. That's what it's here for, to serve us and our needs, to build respect overseas, to stop putting in military dictatorships. And the more we put in like Somoza and the Shah, the more we'll fall, and then we'll learn to deal with them as friends and trade with them as friends and not dominate them. And so the higher they climb, the harder they'll fall. Reagan will put them up on their pedestals, and then it's up to the people to knock them out. That's all I have to say. Next week on Sunday will be the Sunday before elections here in Carmel, but it won't be for those of you who take the tapes elsewhere. So that's all I have to say, I believe, about the elections for 1980. You go out and do what you want, but I think we're in a very bad state, and we may as well recognize it for what it is. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. You take care, and I'll be back with you next week.
This has been World Watchers International with noted conspiracy investigator Mae Brussel. This program originates from Carmel, California.
This is KLRB, Carmel, Monterey,
the No Bullshit Network.